and let there be light. And the Lord sends forth His word. There is light. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for these moments in your presence. Amen. I'd like to go back on a subject that is unusual for me. For the last few weeks, I have been going over in my heart about the mindset of the world and how it has a way of creeping into the church and how it has a way of forming the ideologies and the thought patterns in our minds and hearts. And it's really the system of the world. It's really the mindset of the world. And we began a series that I named, Are We Silent About the Swamp? And basically we were talking about knowing the devices of the devil and how he works and bringing to light the things that we should bring to the light. And I believe God wants us to be his mouthpiece in the world that we're living in. And we need to understand the ways of God. And we need to understand how they are different than the ways of the world. And so we're going to have to talk about things that we normally don't talk about in the church. We try to keep it in such a way that it's religious or that it fits what we think church should be, and that we should never talk about some subjects that really get into your stuff. And so in my heart, I've come to a place where I realize the world is systematically teaching and training our kids all about things we're afraid to talk about in the church. And so as they grow up, that's the only mindset they have. That's the only doctrine. That's the only teaching. That's the only thing they know. So there's a lot of things we need to talk about today in the church that if we don't, the world is going to train our young people and our kids and end up instructing us as well. And when it becomes so prevalent, when so many people believe something to be a truth, then it is accepted as a truth and it becomes a norm of life. And at some point, we have to speak out. At some point, we need to expose the wiles of the devils and the ways of the devils. And we have to attack these lies that the devil has made truths in the world that we live in. So, I know some things we're going to talk about today are a little bit iffy for a service or a church. But I want you to be listening. Simply because you're going to hear this stuff in school, if you haven't already, teaching you things that are wrong about this. And so, I want to teach God's vantage point on subjects that we normally don't touch in the service. So I'm going to name this message, Gender Change and Sexual Orientation. Now, that's a tricky subject. That is something that we normally wouldn't want to touch and it makes us uneasy and whatever, but it has to be because it's gotten out of control in the world where we're living in right now. I received from one of my Christian pastor friends a little short video clip of a Christian forensic scientist talking about these things. Finally, after listening to that, I said, you know, Lord, I've had this on my heart 2 or 3 weeks, but it just takes a little bit of guts to come out and talk about stuff like this. And so after listening to that, I thought, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead with it because we need to have God's view on things. Just like I spoke or gave a series on mourning and grieving from God's perspective, I'd like to speak about gender change and sexual orientation from God's perspective. In the world that we live in, it's so acceptable that there are actually laws that allow this and permit this and give rights. Now, to do that, I have to enter into the world's mindset. According to the current Association of Psychology in the United States, sexual orientation is based on attraction or likes or preferences. Also, gender change is based on personal choice. That alone should alert us at how messed up science is today. Okay, having said that, we're using some words here that may not be truly understood. So, let's talk about it here. There are boys and there are girls. There are men and there are women. All the same thing, there are just two genders. A gender is either male or female. That's it. There's no in-between and there's no it's. And so God created male and female. God did not make weirdos. God did not make weird things. God made men and women. Now, I would have said boys and girls, but they didn't start as boys and girls. God started with a man and a woman. And so this is what we call gender, whether it's a boy or a girl or man or woman. That's gender. The Bible declares that God created humans, and it also defines the parameters of gender to begin and end with male and female, or man or woman. In Genesis 1, verse 26 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our own image according to our likeness.'" In the next verse, "So God created man in his own image." In Genesis 2, verse 7, "The Lord God created the body of man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being, that is, an individual complete in body, soul, and spirit." Verse 8, "And the Lord God planted a garden, an oasis, in the east in Eden," which actually Eden means delight or land of happiness. But verse 15 says, "So the Lord God took the man he had formed and settled him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it." Verse 18 from the NIV, "The Lord God said, 'It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him.'" Verse 21, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and as he slept, the Lord took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place." Verse 22, "And the rib which God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her and presented her to the man. And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man.'" And in verse 27 in the ERV says, "So God created humans in his own image. He created them to be like himself. He created them male and female, man and woman." Verse 28, "Then God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living creeping thing that moves upon the earth.'" So God clearly establishes gender as man and woman. But the fact that God created us assures us that the moral standard has already been set for us. It's not what we want to call it or what we want to be. God formed us. He had a book about us, and we were created according to that book. In Psalms 135, verse 13 from the Amplified, "For you formed my innermost parts, you knit me together in my mother's womb." Verse 14 from the CEV, Contemporary English Version, "I praise you because of the wonderful way you created me." You created me. Note that. "Everything you do is marvelous. Of this I have no doubt. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being formed in secret and intricately and skillfully formed in the depths of the earth." Verse 16 again from the CEV, "With your own eyes you saw my body being formed," i.e. taking shape. The King James says, "Yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." The CEV says, "In your book also written are the days that were appointed for me." In the NIV, it says, "All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them ever came to be." I wonder if this book refers to God's schematic footprint for our DNA. And we are uniquely made. We are uniquely formed. We were a process, a thought of God, a desire of God. Not only did he create the first man, but ever after that, God had a hand in making each one of us. And should I remind us once again, when God did make us, he chose to make us either a man or a woman. And we had no choice about the matter, and neither do we have a choice later. Now, when we talk about sexual orientation, what we mean by this is that if you're a boy but feel like you want to be a girl because you like boys more, or you're a girl and feel like you need to be a boy because you like girls more, that's called sexual orientation. And the psychologists are telling us that sexual orientation is based on what you like. If you're a girl and feel attracted to a girl, that's okay, because you have a right to choose what you want to be, according to God. So we need to understand that more and more this view is becoming prevalent.
If you're a boy and you suddenly like boys and you prefer boys and you're attracted to boys instead of girls, you have a right to change your sexual orientation, your sexual preference. And so God is saying, no, when I made you a boy, I made you a boy so that you'd like a girl. When I made you a man, I made you a man so that you'd like a woman. And when I made a woman, I made her so that she'd like a man. And in case she liked something else, I only gave her a man, and that was it. Amen. And in case Adam had other ideas, God made a woman for him. So God's idea is not the idea of the world.
In today's progressive and liberal society, gender orientation can be any number of variables. Many individuals today take offense at being referred to as him or her or sir or ma'am or Mr. or Mrs. They believe that there are no defined genders, that it can be anything they want it to be, anything they desire it to be, anything in between. Sometimes you don't know with this modern generation what they want to be called. Sometimes you call them by their name and they like to alter their name a little bit to sound more missy if they're a boy or to sound more masculine if they're a girl. We've come to a place where there are no things defined. And so we have to come to a place where we have to revert back to the Word of God, to the standards and norms that God has made for all of us.
And we live in a world that so accepts this and writes laws that don't prohibit it. On the contrary, gives them the same rights as married people have. And now they are rushing against the church to force us to marry same-sex couples. That means women that prefer women and want to marry women and have a home with women and live with women. God calls that sin and an abomination. Lesbians. The same happens with men that we call them homosexuals that are attracted to men. They have relationships with men. They get married with men. And then they want to adopt children, have a family. Then they want to stick us with having to accept them as a perfect family and that they have rights to everything that heterosexuals, which means a man and a woman, have the right to. And there comes a point where the church is going to have to come out and speak out and say something about this and be a voice in the world. Because if not, our young people and our children are going to grow up thinking this is totally normal. Because this is what they're being taught in school. And the day comes when if we don't speak out, if we don't say something about it, this thing is going to, like a flood, overcome us. And we're going to become a society. That's exactly what was happening before the flood. And if that wasn't enough, the judges of the land of Sodom and Gomorrah had legalized homosexuality, bestiality, which means that people have relationship with animals, and all of these gross, wicked things that the world thinks is all so great. And God had to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. Several cities went down, burnt to a crisp. I don't think God was trying to say, I like what you're doing. I think God was trying to say, I love sinners, but I hate what they do. I'm irked with what they do. It's an abomination to me. Now, one day we are not going to stand before philosophers. We're not going to stand before psychologists. We are not someday when we die going to stand before lawmakers. We are not going to stand before teachers and professors. We are going to stand before Almighty God and have to answer according to His rules and His regulations and His moral code. We will not go up there and say, the whole world thought that this way, and so I thought it was cute and funny to do the same thing, and this is what I'm going to do with my life. No, that if this is what you choose to do with your life, you will face God someday, and had it not been for the grace of Jesus and for giving your heart to the Lord and Him forgiving our sins through repentance, daily repentance and washing yourself and coming to God, you will live a life that's abhorrent to God. And so in this, God gives a way of escape. First of all, for the unconverted or the unbeliever, He says, accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want you to know that when we say the mindset of the world, I would like to either correct that or add something to it. It is not really the mindset of the world. It is the mindset of hell imposed upon the world. It is Satan's agenda to destroy our lives and to end a society. It is Satan's agenda to pervert a godly people so that God has to turn against them and remove His blessing, and it can no longer become a country that is a light to the world and becomes a trash heap to the world. Up until lately, sexual orientation, you know what that means now, was considered a condition of a human being based on the unchangeable gender of male and female, not a choice a person decided to make based on mutual attractions. All through history it's been this way. All through history it's not been accepted. And the places in history that didn't accept this were either destroyed by a flood or by fire. God is saying there's a norm that I accept. Now, those of you who aren't thinking about these things need to start thinking about them concerning race and gender. First, these choices were made for us. We were not given the right by God who created us to change or alter that choice. What choice? Race and gender. Color of skin. Those weren't choices that we can make. You can't get up one day and say, I'm going to change the color of my skin. You can't get up someday and just say, I think I'm going to quit being a Chinese person. I'm just going to start being a European person. And so you can paint yourself up. You can go to plastic surgery. And you can change your little squinty eyes. And you can do all that you want to do. Or you can go and do surgery in this case and round up your eyes and remove the squintiness. However, if I were to pull one little strand of hair out of your head and take it to a forensic scientist and said, is this a European or is it a Chinese? Guess what he's going to come back with? We don't have a choice in our gender. We don't have a choice in our race. And we don't have a choice in our color. We don't have a choice as to where in the world we wanted to be born. Those choices were made for us. Some by our parents and some by God, who may have been involved in the parents, like he was in the case of Jacob with a Leah whom he didn't want or like. And the world goes on. Some things were accidents. Really. You see, the world wants us to think that we have a lot of say in changing a lot of things about ourselves. No, we don't. Second, before we were born, we are either male or female. Not he, she's, not she, he's, and not it's. This is not a religious matter. It is not an opinion. It is simply a scientific reality and fact of life. At conception, the DNA given to us assures all the characteristics of who and what we will be for the rest of our life, even after we're dead. In Lima, Peru, they recently found an ancient skeletal remains of a person. How did they know that these bones belonged to a woman? Because there are gender-specific bones in the human body, male and female. There are some bones men don't have, and there's some bones that women have. So when they analyze it, they can do carbon tests and find out how old it is. They can find out what gender it was. So that means that what I said just a moment ago, that even after life, you can't change your gender, and they can determine what your gender was. Now, let's suppose for a moment that this woman in Lima, many centuries ago, had decided she wanted to be a man, and everybody knew her as a man. She dressed as a man. She took male hormones. We're supposing that long ago they had them. This is just a picture in your mind. Everybody in her day knew her as a man. They didn't even know that she was a woman. They never knew because she started this as a child. She pulled the game off the whole time she was alive. But dead, when they found her bones, they said, this was a man. No, this was a woman. So all this nonsense about you can be who you want to be. If you decide you don't want to be a boy anymore, use the girl's bathroom. You have a right to feel like you're a missy. Really? We're not only missies, we're mistaken. Because God doesn't give us that right. Every aspect of a human being corroborates who and what a person is always. Before you get started, God already determined who you would be. So before a person is born and after they are dead, their gender identity is immutable. Before you were born And after you're dead, your gender identity is immutable. You could have acted like a boy. You could have married a girl. You could have done everything you want to on earth. You die and appear before God. You're a man or you're a woman the way He made you. All this nonsense about changing this gender and you have a right to be who you want to be is the biggest nonsense in the face of the earth. And only stupid devils that deceive people with religion and deceive people with thoughts and bring a mindset in the world could pull this off. We do not need to be duped. We do not need to be deceived. We do not need to have the mindset of the world educating our children. We need to educate them from the pulpit, and we need to educate them in our home. And anytime you see those tendencies happening, there's demonic activity taking place in their life. That's when you need to start praying. That's when you need to start shoving them up front during prayer at the end of a service. That's when you need to start having deliverance services. That's when you need to start getting the intercessors involved, because that begins with a little feeling and it ends up with a ruined life and ruining life of others while you're at it. Many other physiological aspects prove gender, like their male chromosomes and female chromosomes. There are cerebral compositions of one type in males and another type in females, and so on. There's a lot of things that make us different. Third, gender change after being born, according to the psychologists, is a preference people should be allowed to have. Yet contrary to their misguided and erroneous conclusions, even eliminating, mutilating, or altering healthy and existing body parts doesn't change gender. Let me put it this way. Let's just say that one day you walk up to a perfectly made drag queen and you're asking yourself, is it a man or is it a woman? I'm not quite sure. I think it's a woman. There's body parts that only certain women hormones could make, and there's body parts missing that should be there if he was a man, and the hair is also beautiful, and the facial expressions are also great, and you almost feel attracted to this woman, and everything is so beautiful, but something in your heart, because you're a Christian, is saying, I don't think so. There's something wrong with this. And so the Holy Spirit puts a little doubt in your mind. Are you sure this is a woman? I'm not sure. But to everybody in the store around them, that's a woman, a beautiful woman. Men walk by, whoo, whoo. All you have to do is walk by and just pull a little strand of hair out of their head. Go down to the forensic scientist, hand it to him, say, I want to know, is this a man or a woman? Outwardly, it's a perfect woman. DNA proves it's a man. Take them to the doctor, do an x-ray of their body, and although it looks like a woman outwardly, the bones are the bones of a man. The skeletal outline says male. So regardless of what you want to do with altering your thing in life, you are what you were made to be. This beautiful woman walks in the doctor's office to have the glucose level checked, and they prick the finger. They do a glucose test. But at the lab, some of these young guys that are trying to learn more about lab tests and everything thought they'd be funny and ran a DNA. Gulp! The doctor has it down on his charts as a woman with the name of a woman, the age of a woman, and he put a little side note that she's really pretty. And this guy's saying, I'm going to run a test again because this one came back a man. So he runs the test again. Now, I know you're saying, Robert, this is very unusual for you. I'm talking about this because if we don't, the world's going to. So they run the test again. Male. They go to the doctor, they hand him the news on the side, of course, because that wasn't what the lab test was meant to be. And the doctor gets a cold chill, breaks out in a sweat. Think about it for a minute. How is it that the devil can deceive us so that we're actually convinced of a lie? That we actually get to the place where we think that we can arrange the things of our life? As Christians, do you think you have to do with your life more than God does? He orders the steps of every human being. This could go on and on. You could be a nice young lady looking for someone to marry, and you see this really handsome guy. You went out to eat with him. Beautiful day. Walk through the park. But he's one of these guys that, you know how some people when they talk, spittle comes out of their mouth? Well, this handsome dude, had some spittle come out of their mouth and it happened to drop on you. Let's take that to the lab. Oh, surprise when the lab results come back. Because you just had a day out with this handsome lady. And while you're gagging and choking, something is going to rise up inside of you like the Spirit of the Lord. And you know what you're going to want to first do? What we did this morning. Come to the river. There is a vast supply. And you're going to want to wash, right? Because you're going to feel dirty. You're going to feel like something's wrong. That's why we should be angry with the devil that's deceiving the world around us. We need to come to a place where we face these realities and talk about them. The Lord's been challenging me about quit being a coward and speak out about things and not just hide them inside a small community, but speak them out there for the world to hear. Maybe somebody will change their ways or come to God through it. Maybe somebody will come out of their deception. I've got Christian parents right now that we actually pray for whose sons are all messed up in this kind of stuff, filled with the doctrine of the world and living a life that brings a heartbreak to their parents and will end up bringing death diseases to them and in the end destroy their life. Number four, sexual orientation or change cannot be made an acceptable norm just because it belongs to a progressive lifestyle of the choice by many today in our twisted and warped society. There are no legitimate reasons or rights given to people by our Almighty God for this freedom of sexual orientation choice. Any switch in orientation, be it because of pleasure, likes, attraction, romance, sexual preference, outside influence of society, or drug abuse, is considered to be an excuse before God and is declared to be a sin and abomination. He recorded the true moral code in the Holy Scriptures. Preference cannot be promoted by law, nor should it ever be allowed to be regulated. Why? Because they are simply the personal likes or dislikes each individual has. No outside force can change a person's likes or preferences. They can make you stop it for a while, but they can't make you quit liking ice cream. They can take it off the shelves, they can quit selling it, but you're still going to like it. Even if there's no ice cream in the world, you're going to remember it as something you like. It can't be regulated. It can't be changed. Everybody chooses to live as they please, be it good or evil. The Greek philosopher Socrates said, "The truth is stronger than reason." Once a person discovers the truth, they will be faced with the reality that truth is not an option. It's not a reasoning. It's not a belief. It is what it is. It's truth. There's only one truth. So no one has a legitimate excuse for sexual orientation change based on preferences, attractions, because it is not legitimate and it is not true. In the case of homosexuals and lesbians, they are not made, formed, or born that way. Contrary to the opinion of sociologists, politicians, psychologists, these people are alterations of God's original plan and purpose. This is made possible and produced by high-level demonic spirits that overpower, that invade and possess the individual, altering them from their normal states. Their mindset is no longer in line with the age-old standard of morality given by God, our Creator. Consequently, they follow a modern progressive mindset that sees as antiquated and needless all moral standards. They strengthen themselves in their resolve to live this lifestyle by finding other individuals that practice the same things. But let's see what God's view is and what the Bible teaches us about these progressive lifestyles. I'm going to read from Leviticus chapter 18. God says very specifically, He speaks to mankind to establish the norms and the moral standards for all of us. In Leviticus 18:20 from the Amplified, "You shall not have intimate relationships with your neighbor's wife to defile her. This constitutes adultery.
In verse 21, shall not give any of your children to offer them as by fire to sacrifice them to Molech, the god of the Amorites, nor shall you profane the name of the Lord your God by honoring idols and other gods, small g. I am the Lord. You shall not lie intimately with the male as one lies intimately with the female. This is an abomination and it is repulsive. And this was a word spoken to men. In verse 23, you shall not have intimate relationships with any animal to be defiled with it, nor shall a woman stand before an animal to mate with it, for this is a perversion. Verse 24, do not defile yourself by any of these things, for by these things the nations which I cast out from before you have become defiled. For the land has become defiled, therefore I have brought its punishment upon him, and the land vomits out its inhabitants. Verse 26, but as for you, you are to keep my statutes and my judgments or precepts and shall not commit any of these repulsive and abominable acts, neither the native born nor the foreigner who lives temporarily among you. For all these repulsive and abominable acts have been done by the people who lived in the land before you, and the land has become defiled. I'd like to read from Paul's book to the Romans, in the first chapter, verse 18, in the Amplified, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Verse 22, professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, or birds, or four-legged animals, and creeping things. Verse 24, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Verse 25, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26, for this reason God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of the error which was their due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a dirty, debased, and reprobate mind to do the loathsome things which are not proper, decent, or right, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgments of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also prove of those who practice them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 from the Amplified, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit or have any share in the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor the effeminate by perversion, nor those who participate in lesbianism or homosexuality will inherit or have any share in the kingdom of God. Now these scriptures are a very clear indication of what God thinks about the acts of homosexuality and lesbianism and the gender choices that people make and the lifestyles that the progressives see as great and persecute those who say anything different, creating their own laws, creating their own moral standards. But God, who created us, God
who owns us, established the norm, the values. He made men and He made women. And He made us so that there would be a relationship between a man and a woman, not a man and a man and a woman and a woman. And this is not harshness from our part. This is not us being hard on people and difficult on people. It's not that we hate people. God said these are detestable acts. God said these are perversions. God said this is an abomination. Yes, God can forgive sin, but there has to be repentance and a forsaking of that sin and turning to God for deliverance and for God to forgive sin and for God to remove from them the powers that work on their heart and in their soul. So let's grieve over the condition of their souls and do all in our power to expose them to the truth in hopes that if they are convinced, they will turn to God and be forgiven for their sin and delivered from this demonic oppression. God will forgive all sin, but the one that refuses His loving gift of forgiveness and deliverance, He will turn over to destruction. Our nation is in trouble. Morally, we need to intercede and engage in spiritual warfare for America and the world. Why? Let me give you 7 good reasons, not that there are only 7. First, just like at one time there was war over the emancipation and liberty of the people of color, then later the fight for women's freedom, now we are in simultaneous battles on multiple fronts. Let me give you 7 of them. One of the fronts that we're fighting is on the rights to live of unborn or newborn babies. The other front we're fighting on is the fight over the definition or right to self-choose gender. The other one is the struggle against the laws that allow emancipation and legal rights of the gay community that come out of hiding with indignant arrogance and vengeance. 4, child trafficking, slavery, and abuse of kidnapped youth. 5, the corruption in high-level government of those who are in office and are up there because of election fraud. 6, illegal and forced invasion at our borders. 7, million of aliens taking over our jobs, resources, and using a myriad of benefits paid for by taxpayers that are legitimate citizens. The full-blown manifestation of demonic spirits ruling in our country and the world through human beings is because of the church being unwilling to engage in spiritual warfare over so many of these issues facing us today, like women's liberation gone rogue, like kidnapping and abducting of children to traffic them around the world to make them slaves to sex, to depraved men and women, to the little babies that are stolen off the street and made slaves for the rest of their life to never more see the outside of a confined area. The child abuse by parents and by adults that's gone wild. Gender change, sexual orientation choices, lifestyle of homosexuality and lesbianism. And the list goes on and on. We're in a war. A war as bad as a civil war. And if we don't cry out to God as a church and start instructing our youth and our children and start bringing God's way into the thing so that their lives can be blessed, so that they can live a life that is full of blessings of God and fruitfulness and enjoy life as God intended it, we're going to see the fall of our country. If we don't rise and do something about it and become indifferent, we're going to be swallowed up in the mire of all of this. When divorces came up, of which no one can say, I am free of hardly anymore, in the church and outside of the church, let me tell you that 100 years ago, when the church was alive and on fire for God, we didn't have this in the church, we only had it in the world. And the list goes on and on and on. Will we allow Satan to intimidate us? Are we going to give over to fear? Are we going to be gagged and silenced under the guise of political correctness? And by the demonic spirits ruling today through people who shout us down? Are we going to give in to the spirit that once ruled through Jezebel of old to intimidate and bring under fear the church of the living God while they live with total impunity and do the things that God hates? Is the Church of the Living God afraid to speak the truth because of the backlash, consequences, or persecution it might bring on? Good question. Now, obviously, God hasn't called us to go out to the streets to take it to the people. Although we are to denounce evil and denounce what's wrong, we are still to love people, regardless of who they are, regardless of what they look like, regardless of the choices that they've made, regardless of the deception they live in. Our warfare is not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. How much of this demonic onslaught are we going to allow in our country before we start leaving our work aside and go to prayer meetings and start calling out to God to bring a change in our country? God has given us spiritual weapons of prayer, intercession, authority over the powers of the devil through the blood of Jesus that keeps us cleansed from all unrighteousness. People need to be brought to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ so He can change their life. How many of us have tried to change our own only to discover that we have no power to change our own life? God is the only one that can change lives. These people need Jesus just like we did. And if it weren't for Jesus, if it weren't for the grace of God, so there go I. If it weren't for the grace of God, there wouldn't just be one mark against me socially. There'd be all kinds of them. I need to continuously come before God for deliverance from the onslaughts of the enemy over my life, to which we succumb to many of them. This isn't a joke. And although it may be totally inappropriate for religious people to talk about things like this, the bottom line is that if our voice isn't heard, at least the young people and children today have no one to advocate for them. And they have no other voice to compare to and say, at least I had a choice. Because the way we're going now, in another 50 years, no one's going to believe anything other than what the world is teaching them, preparing them for the rule of Antichrist, where there's total anarchy, total rebellion, total freedom of sex, total freedom to be anything and however you want to be, and liberty expressed by law to give you the rights to act contrary to God as much as you possibly can, because that's the rule of the devil. And when the Antichrist comes, he comes impersonating Satan himself, who will deceive the world and has started already. Not even our money can save us because they're doing away with currency. They're now teaching us how to pay on our phones, how to make it clear and easy to pay, how to put your phone up against any scanner and they can scan some code on there and business goes on without anybody having to go out of their way to do anything. And they're getting us ready so that our phones and our credit cards do all the thing for us. Then they're going to remove credit cards because everybody has their little phone. And once they have you on your phone, they're going to make it even easier for you. They'll just put it on your wrist or your forehead. At that point is when Satan takes over the world. And at that point is where Christians start dying or where they start seeing tremendous miracles of God, of feeding and bringing up water from the ground like He did in the wilderness wandering of the people of God. People need to be brought to that saving knowledge of God and be filled with a Spirit of God who can change them. We sing hymns like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we. One in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. We need to act the words of this song now, in real time, today. There is an all-out war going on all around us. We cannot afford to look the other way or hide our head in the sand like an ostrich. Let's no longer be silent. Let's no longer just wait. Let's no longer be indifferent. Let's speak out. Let's pray out. Let's vote those lawmakers and their laws clean out of existence. Let's work to convert these liberals from their modern progressive lifestyles. They too need to be brought to the saving faith of Jesus Christ. He is the only one who can deliver them. He is the only one who wants to. He is the only one whose heart goes out to them, realizing that they drive him to the anger of justice because justice cries out to God. You can't leave it this way.
This is not the way you made it. This is not the way you establish it. You are the Lord. You are the Creator. You are God. And so justice cries out to God. And mercy pleads for the sinner. And so we plead with all of these modern progressives. We plead with you, allow the Lord Jesus to come and rule in your life and remove these spirits that are ruling your life and let Him bring positive change to your life. Amen, amen, and amen. Father, I thank You for Your Word and I thank You for the truth. I thank You that there's still a Bible that we can reference. I thank You that there's a Word You left with us so that when things get so chaotic, we can always go to the only one in the universe that is the truth, and that is You. And Your truth came down and became flesh and left the truth with us. And before that, through Your Spirit of truth, You left us truth through the prophets and through the many apostles that have written to us and left it so we had no way to confuse the truth with deceiving darkness. I thank You, Father, that today we can speak about things that we have to speak about because of the world that we're living in. And I pray that not only the children here and the young person here, but that every young person listening to this message or any parent that can listen to this and pass it on to their children, I praise You that we can minister to them across the internet. In Jesus' name, amen.